SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Your bracket doing? That's the big question today. It is Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, MSG Networks, streaming devices. Kofsky is here. We've come up with a thousand different nicknames for him. We'll have some fun with that. John, EJ, and Steve, Big Game James running the boards. We're having a blast. Let's do it. Bracket Central. All right, so you saw me on Bracket Central in-game live on Friday. I'll be hosting on Monday as well with Joe Lisi and Davis Maddock. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to dive into the Sunday games. We'll do the Saturday games a little bit later with Joe Lisi, but let's do the Sunday games right now as we see them. We know that some of these lines will change. Let's go to the Midwest first, and we'll just go in time order. I'll give you a little breakdown of each one of these games, Loyola, Chicago, and Illinois. It's a cute matchup, right? Because you got two teams in the same state. This one, I've seen a little bit of line movement, but we're standing pretty firm at 7. I like Illinois to win this one and to cover. One of three teams in the nation in the top 10 of both of KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency metrics at 7th and at 5th. Loyola Chicago, a great story. 2 years ago, go to the Final Four. Sister Jean, 101 years old. She's in attendance. But unfortunately, I feel like today is the end of the road for Loyola Chicago. Illinois wins and covers and advances. Let's go to Syracuse and West Virginia. They are next on the docket. How about Buddy Boeheim and what he did for the Orange last night? Absolutely shooting the lights out. At one point, had 16 of the first 19 points from the Syracuse Orange. But you guys know I really am a fan of West Virginia. This 3.5 points right there feels like it is, and I'm going to make up a word, coverable. I don't think that's a word. I'm making it up. It feels like it is. Miles McBride was awesome last night with 30. West Virginia is a deeper team. They're a better team. Bob Huggins, congratulations to you on your 900th career win. I'm going to take the under on this one as my main bet, and my backup bet is West Virginia to win and to cover. Remain in the Midwest. We know that we have Rutgers and Houston. Let me just give you a little quick take on this one. Houston is probably going to win this game. Rutgers, congratulations to you on getting your first tournament victory since 1983. The Cougars have Quentin Grimes, and I think he's going to be a little bit too much. I think Houston will advance. All right, now let's get to games that we can gamble on, and let's go to Oregon State and Oklahoma State. So let's stay in the Midwest, guys, just for one more game here. Number 12, Oregon State, and you got number 4, Oklahoma State. My affinity for Cade Cunningham is there. Rough game for him in his debut in the NCAA tournament. Just 1 point in that first half, ends up with, you know, getting 14 points on the game. Didn't shoot very well. But again, this is why we have grown to like Oklahoma State, right? You have Superman in Cade Cunningham, but if Superman has an off night, it's okay. You're still a good team. Now, Oregon State is arguably the hottest team in America, right? Like, they beat UCLA, Oregon, and Colorado in route to winning the Pac-12 tournament, then win their first round game rather easily against Tennessee. I think this one stays close. I do not think Oklahoma State covers this one, and our trend, we're going to go under on this one as well. We're also going to monitor the Cade prop and see if that is lowered, right? Yesterday, we saw on different sites anywhere between 19.5 to 21.5 points in that game. I think it might regress a little bit, and we'll see what we do. Welcome in our radio audiences. I am Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim, as we run through the gamut of our Sunday games. We'll do Saturday in just a bit. Let's continue rolling along, and let's go to the South and give you a little love on Wisconsin and Baylor. Baylor, 6-point favorites. Give me Baylor. Give me the Bears. Give me the best 3-point shooting team in America. Give me the team that has dominated most of the year. Now, Wisconsin, great win against North Carolina, and they have the lowest turnover rate in the nation. So if they can keep themselves clean there, it can stay close. But I like Baylor to win and to cover. Texas Tech and Arkansas. Tech is a sneaky good team, top 25 in America in defense. Arkansas coming off that struggle against Colgate. So you wonder, was that a blip on the radar or was that for real that they struggled? But Arkansas, this is polar opposites, right? Like Texas Tech wants to grind out a game. Arkansas, 17th in the country in average possessions per game. I like Arkansas in this one. I like them to win. I like them to cover. Oral Roberts, they're the dream team going up against Florida. Florida played terribly in that first half against Virginia Tech, came back, won the game in overtime. Oral Roberts, obviously, we talked about Matt Asemus. Max Asemus, he is an excellent player. Eagles can shoot the ball, 9th in America in three-point shooting. Florida, they are an inside team, 53% from interior. Let's ride with Cinderella and say Oral Roberts here. Florida may win, but I'm going to take Oral Roberts with the points. And then we finish off with North Texas and Villanova. Villanova, 6.5-point favorites. Another one that we have to dive into North Texas and look at Javion Hamlet. He's awesome. North Texas, 56% of their shots that they take are from the interior, so they like the inside shot. As for Villanova, Jeremiah Robinson Earl is an NBA player, played like it on day number one. I had my questions, right? I told you guys I wasn't sure that this Villanova team could go far without Colin Gillespie. They played almost a perfect game on day number one of the tournament. Jay Wright is a difference maker. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and there's a reason why Villanova is going to win this game against the Mean Green. They're going to advance, and Villanova is going to be dancing into the Sweet 16. How sweet is that? Let's switch gears, go to the NBA. Coming up next, it's Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim. Keep rolling with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's going on? Betting Around the Rim. Keith Irizarry with you. Oh, my goodness, right? So we are, 11:12 a.m. Eastern time. Got Joe Lisi coming up in about 10 minutes. Have Worldwide Wob coming up at 11:40. So some things to look forward to. I want to move back to the NBA. I know we keep kind of jumping back and forth between college hoops and the NBA. It's one of the weirdest times for the NBA right now because it's not often that they take a back seat, right? Like they're not center stage. March Madness is center stage for the first weekend at least. And then sometimes some people start gearing away if your bracket gets busted. And this is one of the reasons why I love what I do though. And I know I'm going to deviate here and my producer Chris Koff's going to be in my ear. Ah, get to the NBA stuff. No. So what I love about what we teach you guys and gals out there is that do your bracket. And listen, I have my brackets right here, right? You can TV audience. You can see, like, I have brackets. I type them out or I write them out, right? But if your bracket stinks, start gambling on the games. You know, I mean, Kofsky's got a parlay he's putting in that involves Georgetown and Creighton, and it's a 4-team parlay he was just telling me about. And I think it's a great way to just keep yourself involved today and even going forward. Yeah, we all want to win the bracket. I want to win the bracket. I especially want to win the Sports Grid one that's only for bragging rights. I want to, you know, crush the souls of the people that I work with here. But if it doesn't work out, then hopefully I'll make some coin on some other games, you know, and do some, you know, unders and overs and in-game bets and all this kind of stuff. It's just, I don't know. It's a great way to stay involved. All right, but let's go to the NBA. Because as much as LeBron and James Harden have been awesome this past week and a half, you know, and since the All-Star break, we could go back 6 weeks, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been playing like an MVP again. He's a back-to-back MVP award winner. Probably has no chance of winning this MVP award. I mean, no one really wants to give him the opportunity to win this. But he's been really, really good. And now Giannis, who had some triple-doubles as of lately, Giannis has some help. P.J. Tucker is now going to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks. He'll be on this team today. Is P.J. Tucker the greatest player? No. Is P.J. Tucker an organization changer? I'm going to say yes. And here is why. And for the TV audience, we're showing you Woj's tweet here about, you know, P.J. Tucker being dealt away. I mean, it wasn't even that much that was given up for him. That first round swap, I mean, doesn't even really matter. He wanted out of Houston. Houston's lost 19 games in a row. P.J. Tucker now goes to a team that not only can win games, they can win an Eastern Conference. And that's where we got to go with this one, because P.J. Tucker is, what, 35, 36 years old. He's definitely on the latter portion of his career. But I looked at some lineups that the Bucks could go with, right? Let me read these to you. Tell me if this feels like a good closing lineup. I'm going to read it so I don't screw up any of the positions. So one closing lineup would be Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, P.J. Tucker, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez. I feel like that matches up so well with the other two great teams in the East, right? Drew Holiday, great defense. Middleton, excellent shooter. P.J. Tucker, corner shooter, maybe the best that we've seen over the last 20 years. Also excellent on-ball defender and just tough, burly dude. Gets in you and can really just frustrate you. Giannis, we know about him. MVP, can play defense. Still can't shoot that well, but it's getting a little bit better. And then Brooke Lopez, the stretch center, which could cause some problems for those two opposing teams. All right, that's one possible closing lineup. How about if I told you we went with Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Dante DiVincenzo, Giannis, and then P.J. Tucker kind of goes into that small ball center role, which he did a little bit with Houston over the last couple of years. Dante DiVincenzo is the Energizer Bunny. He can shoot a little bit. Obviously, we know about his time in Villanova. He hasn't been 100% what they were hoping for in the NBA, but he's been really good. Like, those two closing lineups now give you options. P.J. Tucker, and we'll bring in the stats board for you for the TV audience, and I'll talk you through this as well. Radio audience, the numbers aren't good. 4.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, maybe an assist per game. Field goal percentage is down. 3-point percentage is down. Minutes per game is pretty good. But then you get the steals for a smaller guy at about one. You get the blocks at almost one block per game. He's going to change the mentality. He's going to change the mind frame. Like, I don't know other words that I can be saying for this. He is a game changer for this Milwaukee Bucks team. We'll talk with Worldwide Wob again in 20 minutes or so about this. I want his take on P.J. Tucker and what this does for the landscape of the Eastern Conference. Listen, again, Nets are still the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Sixers are still the second best team in the Eastern Conference. But are the Bucks so far behind those teams anymore? I'm willing to say they have closed the gap dramatically. How about closing the gap in the Western Conference? The Portland Trailblazers, shout out to my guy, Kelly O'Coin. You know him as Dollar Bill from Billions. He actually does a weekly podcast now with Dominique Wilkins. Got to get Kelly back on the show very soon. Kelly is a diehard Portland Trailblazer fan. Him and I text about the Blazers all the time, and he is in love with this Trailblazers team. Still no Yusuf Nurkic, but Damian Lillard is on a heater. 50 points, 10 assists on Tuesday night, and Dame Dalla is just plain dominating the game. He leads the NBA in clutch points, in clutch threes, clutch field goal percentage, clutch three-point percentage, clutch wins. Put it all together. It's just Dame time. It just continues to be Dame time. I had someone tell me that they'd like to see Damian Lillard, you know, act more like he's been there before and not do the whole, you know, point to the wrist Dame time. I hated that take. I thought that take was terrible. And I'm okay with Damian Lillard reminding us of his greatness. I'm okay with when you are routinely doing this like Dame is doing, and you are keeping your team in a mode where they could have folded. You lose CJ McCollum, who is playing like an all-star for the first 15 games of the season. You lose Yusuf Nurkic, who maybe not a household name, but he does a lot for these Portland Trail Blazers. What did you have left in the cupboard? Gary Trent Jr. Listen, started hitting the three, started playing a little bit better. Happy about Gary Trent Jr. He's not a world beater. Carmelo Anthony on his last legs, although now 11th all-time on the scoring list. All right. Okay. Fine. And then there was Dame. Shout out Terry Stotts. Shout out Dame Dalla. Shout out this Trailblazer team that is just stayed afloat, and not just stayed afloat. They're relevant. And we'll talk about the MVP conversation a little bit later in the show as well. Maybe we'll do a little bit more of that tomorrow. Got a lot of time to play with over the next day and a half. But Damian Lillard has clearly thrust his name into the MVP debate. Yes, it is Dame time. One last thing on the NBA, and I want to do this because, you know, Kofsky put this on our Up Against the Clock, but I want to dive into this triple-double thing. And I put a tweet on Wednesday night out there, and we'll throw it up for the TV audience. I'll read it for you. Serious question. How much stock are you putting into triple-doubles nowadays? Another six players did it tonight. Harden, Sabonis, Westbrook, Simmons, Draymond, and Jokic. And at the time, we still had games going. No one else did it. I used to love the trip dub, but seems like everyone gets one nowadays. And we also added in the ESPN tweet about history we made with the six triple-doubles on Wednesday. And it was just, what, 4 days prior that there were five triple-doubles in one singular day? I refuse to use the word meaningless for triple doubles. I will say this. It's not as sexy as it used to be. Triple doubles are still very important. Why? Because it means that one of your guys has done double digit points, which is good for you. Double digit rebounds, let's say, which is good for you. Double digit assists, which is good for you. And you know, you want to mix in, maybe there was a guy that did 10 blocks. Maybe there's a guy that did 10 steals, whatever it is, but triple doubles still matter. You know who else matters? Joe Lisi. Let's break down some college hoops when we come back. Joe Lisi joins me next, Betting Around the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The world is cruising along, and so are we. It is Betting Around the Rim. Keith Irizarry, Sports Grid Radio, on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204, the MSG Network, streaming devices, so many ways to watch us. Joe Lisi joins us at this spot each and every Saturday. Go for the two on Twitter and on social media. Joe, how'd your day go yesterday? Good, bad, indifferent?
I would say average. I started out with Texas Tech, Keith, had a good victory, and I was all in on Morehead State last night over West Virginia. They were toe-to-toe, right? 42-41, but in the end, Miles McBride and the crew pulled away to cover that game. So not a good second half of the slate on round number one, but looking forward to today's action, some intriguing matchups.
I thought one of the more fun games to follow live was Arkansas Colgate, to see that line continue to go up and down. And I was hosting In Game Live. I'm going to be with you on Bracket Central In Game Live on Monday. It was like a roller coaster of emotions for that one. When do you get in? When it got plus money on the money line. I ended up getting in, I think it was at plus 220 on Arkansas money line. So I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, they went on a 17-0 run, right, to really close the gap and really close out the half 36-33, and that really catapulted them in terms of building momentum in the second half. I think the biggest thing and takeaway that we saw in some of the upsets yesterday is inconsistent shooting outside the arc, right? 5 of 23 for Ohio State, 21%. You saw San Diego State struggle with 27% in terms of that loss to Syracuse, and the teams that actually won really stepped up. I mean, Syracuse, 55% from the field, 55% from outside of three. I mean, that's going to get it done. So the teams that have consistency from three-point shooting most likely will cover these numbers today.
Joe, let's dive into today. So we have a theory yesterday that Mike Blewett, Davis Maddock, and I were kicking around. I want your take on it. At Hinkle Fieldhouse, if you watch those games, the early games, there was the sun beaming through. And there was this weird, like, sun spot on one side of the court, which meant that in the first half, Florida shot terribly against Virginia Tech. Second half, they switched it. So if that game doesn't go to overtime, it's an under. What do you think of the under in Georgetown, Colorado today? It's being played at Hinkle at 12:15.
Yeah, I mean, it could definitely, you know, favor that type of, you know, type of game. And especially if there is outside circumstances, like in terms of the Hinkle Fieldhouse with the sun shining through, that can lead to unders. It gets into the shooter's eyes. They're not used to the same type of court or element. The eye level with shooting in terms of three-point shots, that could be a factor as well. And if you're looking at this game overall, if you're Georgetown, right, you won your championship game, you're playing an athletic Colorado team, you want to slow down the tempo. You don't want to get into a fast-paced, up-and-down type of game, which would really favor the athleticism of the Buffaloes in this matchup, along with their free throw shooting, one of the best free throw shooting teams in college basketball. So that would favor an under type of game. That we saw these games go under most of the day yesterday, Keith. So, you know, first game on the slate today typically could lean to the under in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm leaning a lot of unders. Let's continue rolling along. NC Greensboro, Florida State. Florida State has a bunch of hyper-jumping, athletic studs. Greensboro, though, they are a team that does not turn the ball over. Can they hang with Florida State?
I think they can, but I favor Florida State here. I mean, Florida State has not looked good second half of the season. They lost to Georgia Tech in basically a half-court style type of game. I think this is a game where Florida State needs to start fast. They need to play up-tempo. They need to get into their rhythm, and they really need to go all out to build confidence and build momentum into the second round. I think Greensboro can maybe hang for maybe a half. But outside of that, I think it's all Florida State. Actually, this is one of the games that I lean to the over here. The total's 144. It's now maybe 143.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I think this game could go over the total of 144, like Florida State in the over today.
Oh, I could see that happening as well. All right, let's go 115. Let's go to the West. Can I tempt you in Eastern Washington, a team that started the year off at 3-6? And then go 13-1 to end the season. Tanner Groves, 6'9" center, can play. And they're going up against a Kansas team that had some COVID issues, albeit everyone is expected to be back on the floor. Can I tempt you at all on Eastern Washington?
You can. I actually like Eastern Washington here. Now, the line opened up at 10.5. It's down to 10. A couple of reasons why I lean to Eastern Washington here. You mentioned in terms of the size inside, but Kansas early on, Keith, had struggles on the road or on a neutral field site. They lost to Baylor, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, all on the road earlier part of the year. They regrouped, got some consistency, were playing their best ball at the end of the year. And then you mentioned it, they had a pause for COVID issues. Now they have to regroup. How do they come out of this, you know, hiatus in terms of confidence and, more importantly, consistency in terms of shooting? I don't think Kansas, albeit, is a great perimeter shooting team. So I think Eastern Washington is a live dog today. I like them plus the 10. Also like them on the money line. I think Kansas is severely overhyped heading into the tournament in the first round. So don't be shocked if they strike the upset today.
Yeah, I'm rolling with you on this one, too. And I love that you brought up the money line there, because I think that as you look at a lot of these games and you look for some upsets, this is the recipe for an upset. And whether it's sprinkling, dripping, whatever terminology you want to use, I think it's worth throwing a few shekels on to Eastern Washington and the money line. I think potentially the game of the day is St. Bonaventure and LSU. And I know that I said this to you on Thursday night when we were on In-Game Live together. You've brought the Irizarry household over to LSU. Now, here's the issue, though. I love that you laughed at that. Here's the issue. LSU was one of my sneaky teams coming into the tournament, but St. Bonaventure was too. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, can I talk to Papa Lou? Because I feel like I'm part of the family now. So, you're coming over for Sunday gravy. That's it. Let's do it. I'm all in. Here's the thing. I think when you look at this line overall, you know, St. Bonaventure has the type of game plan to slow down the tempo of LSU and possibly strike the upset. But if LSU comes, let's say, 70% of their game, I still think they cover this game and win by 8 to 10 points. I just think they're too athletic. They don't rely so much on the three-point shot as much as their athleticism inside with smart days. They have the ability to penetrate. And let's not forget that I think the real spark plug of that offense isn't just Cameron Thomas. To me, it's Watford. His ability to just go up and over the rim, just explosive dunks. He's always around the basketball. He is the difference maker. So I think the athleticism of LSU to me is the difference. And I think this line is established to possibly buy you in onto St. Bonaventure. I know they're a disciplined, defensive-minded team, but I think this team is severely undervalued in LSU. To me, I think they should be at least a 5 or a 6 seed heading into this tournament.
And that's why I'm leaning LSU, because I thought the number was too low, too. I kind of like the over in this one also. I think that we'll get some points from LSU. And here's what I was telling Kofsky about this in one of the commercial breaks about St. Bonaventure, is that they've got a really nice starting five. All five of their starters play 30 minutes per game. Only one person off the bench plays even double-digit minutes. All it takes is for one of those guys to get into foul trouble, and now you're just talking about a different complexion to a game. All right, let's continue rolling. Texas Southern and Michigan. Again, he is Joe Lisi joining me. Keith Irizarry betting around the rim. Texas Southern, nice way to get into the field of 64 after being in the first four. When you look at Michigan today, they're going to win. Let's just put it there. How important is it for Michigan to look like Michigan from 3 weeks ago as opposed to Michigan from a week ago?
Very important. And that's why one of my best bets just from the gambling aspect today is Texas Southern. You're talking about a team in Texas Southern that has won 14 of the last 15 games. They've won 9 straight games, Keith, by an average margin of victory of 13.7 points per game. And on the flip side, when you look at two of the teams that Michigan lost to at the end of the year, Ohio State and Michigan State, both of those teams are no longer in the tournament. So from a confidence perspective, you know, without Livers in that matchup, how does Michigan respond? They haven't found answers on how they actually regroup and make up for the lack of production of their second leading scorer. And to me, that's where the concerns lie. You know, Juwan Howard might have to experiment. That could lead to turnovers. He might want to get other players involved in terms of depth and utilize a different type of philosophy, not for this game, but for round two and possibly round three. And I think that that's where Texas Southern could definitely cover this 25.5 point number today.
Joe, I'll bury the lead and tell you I like UC Santa Barbara to cover this one. They're at plus 7.5. Creighton may win this game. How do you see it?
I lean to Creighton. This is one of the games that I'm not touching from a gambling perspective, but I would lean to Creighton coming off the disappointing loss to Georgetown. They have an opportunity to make a statement. They've played the better competition. I'm going to lean to Creighton in this ball game, but don't like this game at all from the gambling perspective, because it wouldn't shock me if Santa Barbara pulls out the outright victory today.
Rick Pitino going to find a way to not lose by more than 16.5 to Alabama?
Ooh, this is tough because, you know, if Alabama's on, you live and die by the three. And that's where we saw these teams struggle yesterday. So, you know, just on paper, I think Alabama can cover this 16.5 point number. But over the last few games, they've been very sloppy with turnovers. Do they regroup here? I would lean to Iona with the points. Clearly, I think Alabama's a Final Four team, but Iona can cover the 16.5 point number today.
Dude, we really are family because we spent too much time talking to some other games. We got to go rapid fire here. Drake, USC, 6.5 point favorites.
I like USC here. Too athletic over Drake.
Iowa, Grand Canyon. Iowa, obviously, a big team, 14.5 point favorites.
I say Iowa. There's no way Iowa can't dominate this game.
Maryland, UConn.
Love Maryland today.
All right. And Ohio, Virginia?
I'm taking Virginia.
Missouri, Oklahoma. One last one. Go.
Love Oklahoma, Keith. Love Oklahoma.
Boomer Sooner. Betting around the rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How goes it? Betting around the rim. Keith Irizarry with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the MSG Network, streaming devices. Rob Perez Worldwide Wob joins us now, as he always do. Follow him on social media. Some great stuff always there. All right, so let's just get the first question out. Kyle Toops, you're a North Carolina guy. I don't mean to start with the negative. How upset are you about your Tar Heels and their performance yesterday against Wisconsin?
I'm a very realistic North Carolina fan. I'm a fan who has seen three national titles at this point. So I am very much, nothing will ever be as good as the first. And every tight national title from this point forward is just kind of like relief as opposed to happiness. So I feel spoiled in a sense. But of course, you know, watching them play against a very disciplined and fundamental Wisconsin team may not be nearly as talented, but Carolina has historically struggled against those teams that are like the Virginias of the world, that they can't just out-talent. If they have the talent to do it, of course, that's a different equation like they've had in the past, but not this season. So it was just a matter of time.
All right, tell me if you think I'm a weirdo. Two of my favorite North Carolina players are not two of the guys that are all-time greats. Loved Ed Cota and loved Raymond Felton.
Yeah, those are two lovable guys. You could add like Shamon Williams to that list, Joe Forte, Chris Lang, certainly not lovable, but guys like Jason Capel, Jeff Capel's brother. There's a lot of them. You know, Antoine Jameson has his jersey retired, his number and name retired. You know, to qualify for that at the University of North Carolina, you not only have to be a first-team All-American, you have to win the national title. So to check those boxes, including guys like Tyler Hansbrough, you know, that's those are the guys Carolina fans remember the most.
Boom, there you go. All right, Wob, let's get into some NBA stuff. PJ Tucker will make his debut today for the Milwaukee Bucks. How much does this shift things in the East, or does it not?
I appear to be on an island by myself with this one, because everyone all of a sudden thinks PJ Tucker is some washed 35-year-old that can't play the game of basketball anymore. But I'm on the record saying that whatever team picked up PJ Tucker during right before the trade deadline, it would make a massive difference enough for me that I would need to reevaluate who I think is going to win the NBA title. And now that the Milwaukee Bucks, who before the PJ Tucker trade, you could probably say stood alone in that tier two in the Eastern Conference, there was the 76ers and the Nets while Joel Embiid was healthy, and the Bucks were right kind of there. They just kind of lacked the depth. By adding PJ Tucker to this team that was lacking any sort of talent or bench until now, I would ascend them into that tier one. And the reason for that is now they have two guys on the court. Giannis is obviously the reigning defensive player of the year, but they have PJ Tucker now, so that Giannis doesn't have to be the defensive player of the year for 40 minutes in addition to doing everything that he does on the offensive side. We saw what PJ did playing the five for the small ball Rockets in the bubble. His ability to guard positions one through five. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He stands in the corner and shoots and makes corner threes. He has a locker room presence, a veteran presence, which the Bucks may or may not have lacked. But everything about his game was going to fit perfectly into any fringe title contender. But on the Milwaukee Bucks that love to shoot threes to begin with, he should fit right in seamlessly on both sides of the ball.
You are not on an island here. I spent about 10 minutes talking about why I think PJ Tucker has vaulted them into that conversation with the other two teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, talk about a closing lineup, right? Like I did that too. If you, I have a lineup of Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, PJ Tucker, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez. And if you want to swap Lopez out and go smaller and DiVincenzo there in that closing lineup, that's a really good closing lineup now.
Yeah, and it's got this. It's got the rim protection. I don't know how, but Brooke Lopez is a rim protector. It's got it with PJ Tucker. It's got it with Giannis. So if you want to play this half court, we're just going to throw bodies at the rim. They can do that. They can switch in the pick and roll, because if you run it against Giannis Antetokounmpo and PJ Tucker with your two best players, they're just going to switch because you don't lose anything. And I understand that he's having an off year in terms of like shooting the three ball. I think he was down to 32%. But I'm not taking any of these statistics that anybody who's currently playing on the Houston Rockets has their own separate agenda to get out of there. That's a player worth anything. So I really do think he'll turn it back on. And that closing lineup, yeah, at some point you're going to have to fall back on your star power, because when we get to the playoffs, it's a different sport. It just slows down into the half court, and you need defense on that side of the ball. Guys that can guard positions 1 through 5, can run people off the three-point line, as simple as that sounds. That's how you get beat in the playoffs, and that's what PJ Tucker brings to this Bucks team that they simply did not have.
So I'm going to show my age a little bit here, but there is a soap opera, Days of Our Lives. My mother used to watch this religiously, and I remember sometimes in the summers, like, I would watch a little bit with her, and I was way too young, but I didn't understand all the things going on. But so are the days of our lives, you know, it sands through the hourglass, whatever, right? So are the days of our lives with the MVP conversation, because I think it was a month ago, it's Steph Curry getting in. 3 weeks ago, it's Luka getting in. And then it was clearly Embiid, and now he's hurt. So today, it's LeBron? Question mark.
It's as wide open of a field as I think I've ever seen this deep in the season. It's changing every week. And to your point of Days of Our Lives, you could have argued Steph 2 weeks ago, and now it feels like he's completely out of it. Could have argued Luka the next week. Now it's Jokic up there that's threatening LeBron's crown. And it is, as Kyle Kuzma said, this is a very political award. It is voted on by media, okay? And there's only so many voters out there. So what are they voting on? What narratives, what eye test, what statistics value the most to them? And now that the Lakers are kind of figuring it out and starting to put some wins together again here, without Anthony Davis, LeBron is getting back into the saddle of that narrative of he's carrying this team to the top of the Western Conference, doing what LeBron does. He puts up those 30, 15, 10 nights, and you don't even know it, because we're just so used to it and numb at it at this point that we take it for granted. And he's always been the best player in the league, but the argument is, should the best player win MVP? That's not always the case, because MVP is an individual regular season award, and sometimes a player out there has the best season of his career. Doesn't mean he's the best player, but he did have the most valuable season. So now if we look at the odds here on FanDuel Sportsbook, you can see that LeBron is still very clearly leading it. But as we progress, we've got guys like Nikola Jokic that if the Nuggets figure out how to get into that top four, top three, is going to have a legitimate chance at the throne. Nikola Jokic is setting historical efficiency numbers, especially for a big guy. You're also going to want to watch out for James Harden. I know the Brooklyn Nets finally lost a game last night, but while Kevin Durant is out, we're talking like Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain numbers from James Harden. Again, the same ones that won him the MVP down in Houston. So the carousel and the rotation just goes on and on and on and on. And yeah, of course you want to look out for those guys, but you know what the one name we haven't mentioned, either of us yet, Keith, is? Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time reigning MVP, who's having better numbers than his two MVP seasons. What does this guy have to do to get respect? Because he certainly doesn't have it anymore, and that's because of his performance in the playoffs. But now that he's having arguably the best year, including the two MVP seasons, he seems like an afterthought. Not so much anymore. He'll be there in the end.
He is Worldwide Wob. Again, joining me, Keith Irizarry, on Betting Around the Rim. All right, so then with all of that MVP conversation, what's your advice to the bettor out there? How should they be handling these future bets on MVP, or are you just avoiding it now?
I'd personally go with the buy low, sell high strategy. So I have 7 different guys right now to win MVP. And the reason why I bet on 7 different guys is because whether it was James Harden at +3,000. Damian Lillard still is my biggest exposure in my portfolio at +2,100. I've got guys like Jokic when they were +900. If there's a number on the board, there is no one who is running away with this award the same way that LaMelo Ball has Rookie of the Year or Jordan Clarkson has Sixth Man of the Year. So if you see any of these in the top, let's say, 9 guys on that list that all the way down to Kawhi Leonard. Every single one of those, if they put together a week of game winners or standout behind the head passes like Luka was doing in Portland last night, that's going to take their odds and cut them in half. So I'm just trying to build a portfolio the same way that you should build a stock portfolio, is diversify. And the numbers have changed throughout the season enough that you can just bet on every single one of those guys at some point, and you're going to come out on top one way or another.
One of my producers, John, is going to be so angry with you saying that LaMelo Ball is running away with the award. He's buying in on Anthony Edwards and what he's done over the last, you know, 10 days or 10 games or so. Edwards, for lack of a better word, he's been electric.
He's been fun to watch, and he's the first rookie his age, I think, to put up that amount of points in a 4 or 5 game stretch. But this is what NBA Twitter does. They find some statistic out there and they treat it like religion once it's an echo chamber for a player that you're rooting for. So I can find any number out there that makes LaMelo Ball look like better than Michael Jordan, the same way that people are doing with Anthony Edwards. And that's not to take anything away from Anthony Edwards. In that game against the Suns, in which he put up the 40-point career high performance, he was a Swiss Army knife of offense. It wasn't just dunking dudes in the middle earth. He was creating for himself. He was hitting threes. His ability to penetrate, not only finish at the rim, but create for others as well. Like, the future, he has no ceiling right now, and he's got insane bounce. So anytime that he starts taking off down the lane, you want to hold on to something in case Yuta Watanabe decides to try and block one of those dunks again. He's a thrill. Just LaMelo Ball has been doing this now for months on end as opposed to just days. So if Anthony Edwards could put this together for an entire campaign, sure, he may be in contention for like a most improved player next year. But LaMelo Ball has been doing this since night one, and that's why he's going to win.
Well, we are nearing in on the end here. We got like 3 minutes. You said something, buy low, sell high before, so I want to go further into that. The Eastern Conference to me is fascinating, that the Hawks are, you know, winners of 7 games in a row. The Celtics are suddenly a bad basketball team. The Raptors are suddenly a bad basketball team. The Pacers are starting, like, you have all of these things. So who are you buying high? Who are you selling low? All that kind of stuff.
Well, buy low, sell high. I am buying the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, I want to buy the Toronto Raptors despite their fourth devastating defeat at the hands of Pascal Siakam that goes in and out at the buzzer. That's now 4 this season that this has happened, and it can't get any lower. But this Toronto Raptors team is still good. I understand they have their deficiencies, but you do not want to play them in a play-in tournament and let them get to the playoffs, because they will raise some hell. So give me the Raptors, the Pacers, and the team you just talked about in the Atlanta Hawks, which the buy-low opportunity seems to be disappearing by the day. That during this winning streak, they had 2 games, by the way, in which they kept their opponents in the 80s. The scoring, the 80s. These Atlanta Hawks, and this isn't the 80s. I'm talking about the decade either. The fact that they kept the Miami Heat were streaking to a game in the 80s shows how their improvement since the transition of Lloyd Pierce to Nate McMillan, a guy who, by the way, had every single Indiana Pacers team that he coached at 500 or above. Now that they got the depth in Rondo and Bogdanovich, of course, I think the Hawks are probably here for the long haul. You can't argue otherwise, and they're proving it to you right now.
All right, before I let you go, the world of triple-doubles. We had 6. We've had 5. I had my producer ask me if the triple-doubles are meaningless now. What is your thought on triple-doubles nowadays?
The NBA has its highest pace, which is the number of possessions per 100 possessions, how many total that there are throughout the course of a game, is skyrocketed. So with more pace comes more shots, more assists, more misses, which means more rebounds. So statistics are going to be inflated simply because there are more possessions per game for both teams. Now, that doesn't mean that these guys aren't getting better or efficient, but all these triple-doubles that we see every night are simply because the volume exists.
Worldwide Wob, follow him on social media. You get his work on FanDuel and right here on Sports Grid. Always a pleasure chatting with you, bro. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Keith.
All right, there he is. Again, Worldwide Wob on Twitter and on social media. When we get back, let's do some best bets. We're going to go all college as we round out the show. Right here, Betting Around the Rim, I am Keith Irizarry.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We did it, almost 2 hours in the books, Betting Around the Rim, back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. You'll get me on Bracket Central in-game live on Monday from noon to 4 as well. All right, let's get into some of our best bets of the day. I'm going to go all college here. Georgetown and Colorado is the first game of the day. It's being played at Hinkle Fieldhouse, which has the weird lighting going on because the sun goes through. I'm going to take the under of 138 here. Hoya's also 309th in taking care of the ball, so they'll probably turn the ball over a lot. I think this ends up being an ugly game. I'm not messing with the who's winning or not. Let's just go under on the Georgetown and the Creighton game. Now let's go for some potential upsets, or at least can help you out on the money side, maybe even in your bracket as well. UCSB is at plus 7.5 against Creighton. And I like that number. I definitely do. Ja'Cory McLaughlin can play, a kid from Oregon State. He's a transfer. This is a UCSB team that has a bunch of transfers that have come in from major teams as well. The MO has been get that major talent into our team. Creighton has been struggling as of late. So the Gauchos, they've won 18 of the last 19. They keep this one close. They may even win it. You may want to sprinkle a little something, drip a little bit on the money line. And finally, Ohio at plus 7 against Virginia. Why? Because Virginia is coming off the COVID pause. It has been really, really difficult for them to even get practice time in. And Ohio has the kid, Jason Preston, that'll be playing in the NBA someday. Five players averaging double digits for Ohio. The Bobcats will keep the game close. They also could pull off the upset. But for this, my best bet part, just going with the plus 7. Props and parlays coming up next with Joe Ranieri. Oh, man, what a crew we have. Shout out to everybody here, and Kofsky and John and Big Game James running things behind the scenes. And, of course, Steve and EJ handling all the graphics. March Madness is upon us. Hopefully your brackets are doing okay. If not, start gambling on individual games and props. It's what we all should be doing. Remember, if you can't trust me, how can you trust yourself? I am Keith Irizarry. Once again, thank you for joining us on this Saturday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, right here on SportsGrid.